Amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell you folks are kind of excited. Joy to be here. Ask Brother Mike Mahan, Brother David, he drove me down, and I asked him what part of Virginia we were in. It seemed like we just kept coming and winding around. But I'm glad to be here. And I appreciate you having the Foothills Camp Meeting. We need something today to scotch God's little children up in these hell-bent hours in which we live. And I appreciate you praying for my pastor, my son. That works out good, doesn't it? And, of course, I know you've prayed for his dear wife. And I know you've prayed for us. I was thinking, Hudson, when we first went on radio in 1940, that's before some of you was born, and then we went on television 37 years ago, that's 1960, and we used to get mail from all this country, Hudson and Connelly Springs, and all over. We stayed on Channel 13, I think close to 30 years, 28, something like that. And we got mail from all down through here. And it was always good to hear from you. Tonight I hope that you pray and God will touch our hearts. Here it is Wednesday and the camp goes on through Friday. If the Lord in mercy lets me live, I think this month, or I'm beginning the 60th year of preaching. Isn't that good? When I started preaching, I used to go to the meetings when I was young. I started preaching as a teenager. And sometimes I'd be the youngest preacher there. But now I'm over on this side and a lot of times I'm the oldest. Brother Wade Huntley and Brother Curtis Barbie were somewhere recently eating a meal. And Wade looked over at Curtis and said, "Curtis, did you know we're the old preachers now?" And I think Curtis wanted him to shut up. But that time comes. And you young fellas, young preachers here, just keep going. Stay prayed up and fired up and filled up. And God will use you. He will use you. Now, are you used to getting out at a certain time?
No, sir. Just mind God, brother.
I just don't want to be too long. Long-winded preachers. I preach a lot of homecomings now. When you get my age, you know, they sort of feel you in here and yonder. But I like the homecomings. You know, they have shelly beans and all kinds of vegetables and cakes and stuff. And I learned years ago when you preach a homecoming, God help that preacher this long wind. Because out there they got those boxes full of groceries and they want to eat. I was in a funeral home some months ago and Brother Charles Phillips pastored Newfound Baptist Church at Lester. He was telling about a fellow that went to meeting and where he went the preacher was long-winded. Of course, used to when I started preaching, if you quit under our hour and a half, they thought you'd struck out. Now they'd let throw you out. But anyway, he was talking to this fella, said he went to hear this preacher. This is the gist of it. And the preacher was noted for being long-winded. But down near the front, right in this intersection, sat a gentleman. Man, he was dressed nice, coat, tie. He was, well, if he'd have died, all you had to do was just adjust his tie and put him in the box. And He was listening, and the preacher went on and preached a good long while. That's while the fellow got up and started out. And the preacher just stopped and said, he said, "Sir, where are you going?" "Why," he said, "I'm going to get me a haircut." He said, "Well, why didn't you get it before you left here?" He said, "I didn't need it." So it went a long time, didn't it? Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. It looks like there's a lot of young people scattered around through the crowd. I appreciate that. I've got enough sermons here to preach, I believe, till the rapture. You want me to start on them tonight? No, I won't treat you that way. In the book of 2 Samuel, there's a scripture I'd like to read to you. We're in the last days, children, and God's little people need encouragement. Is that song in your songbook here, "Press On, It Won't Be Long"? Is that, I don't know what, you use the red back, little red back, what do you got? Is that "Press On, It Won't Be Long"? Is that in there? If it's in there, I'd like you to sing it. And I'd like to say my wife would love to be here tonight, my pastor's mother. But we've been in the moving process and still got some things going on. Did you find it? How many know "Press On, It Won't Be Long"? Could somebody strike a chord and pitch it? Heist it? They used to call it heisting a tune. I used to preach funerals with an old mountain preacher, and he could just heist the tune, take off, and sing it. And if it's in there, who knows it? Who can lead it? Everybody sing it. Everybody. You fellas sing it. I want you to sing "Press On, It Won't Be Long." And I want you to think about it while you sing it, because I think we're nearing the junction. That means we're crossing out. Go ahead, dear brother. You're good at it. ever quit singing them old songs.
Amen.
God said sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen.
We've been trying to get a songbook ready. I hope we can finish it one of these days. My wife and I especially, and I've talked to my son about it, so many of the churches are letting the contemporary and rock beat come in. Folks, take it from this old preacher. Don't let that happen to you. You stick with the old songs, and God will bless you for it. Amen. Now, if you'll take your Bibles, I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And let me say, while you're turning, I really appreciate, Brother Sessa, I appreciate the privilege of coming. I really do. A lot of folks think when you get my age, about all you can do is draw your breath and your social security, but you'd be surprised how much the Lord helps us. God, I give God the glory. I preached last Sunday, made two television programs yesterday. We'll be down here tonight. Supposed to be with Brother Ed McAbee and Gaffney Saturday. And then Sunday morning, post preaching Hendersonville, and then our church Sunday night. That's a pretty good schedule for a fella that's having a birthday next Sunday. I'll be 78. Now I wear a 17 shirt, 33. And a 44 regular suit. Oh, the goodness. You know, I'm going to tell you something now, folks. I enjoy preaching. I really do. I've heard people say, you know, they don't. Listen, when God saved me, He filled me so full of it. I'm still running in high gear. I really am. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, you don't preach tonight. I hear this thing bouncing. That's not me, is it? I appreciate you running high, because when you get my age, your voice isn't quite as strong as it used to be. I was sitting there, I thinking a while ago, preacher, in my lifetime, the preachers that God's let me hear and come in contact with. When I was a child, Cyclone Mike came to our town. Now, my wife's mother used to go hear it. And that goes way back. And then, of course, Dr. Mordecai Helm, I believe I was thinking him today. He was a personal friend. When he came to town, he called my wife and myself, and we go to the hotel and fellowship with him. And I remember those meetings. I remember 1938 when J. Harold Smith came to Hendersonville, then on to Asheville. I remember that. William McBurney, the old Irish evangelist, came in 1937. And Vance Havener, men like that. And, you know, I long to see the Spirit of God come down again like it was in those days. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 19, we have some verses here we'd like to read, and we'll try not to be too long, really. I'm sure if you've read your Bible, you know the story of King David and how that his son Absalom tried to take the throne away from him in the kingdom, how that Absalom rebelled and rose up, and how King David had to flee. This great man of God had to flee. There are times in your life, Christians, that you may have to flee. That don't mean you're backsliding. But there are times that pressures make you go places maybe you didn't want to go. And don't ever forget, God, sometimes He guides you by pressures. That's the way they move those satellites around up yonder, is by pressure. They push a button and that little jet goes off, and the pressure pushes that thing back in line. And sometimes God permits pressures to keep us in line.
Amen.
It may be sickness, it may be death, it may be financial reverses, it may be things that you never dreamed of. But God sometimes permits it. And preachers, God permits it to you. God will permit things you never dreamed of. But God's doing that for His glory and your benefit. And so you remember the story, how King David with his family, his army, he fled. And it was hard on the king, the things that happened to him. And we find here that after the day come when that rebellious son hung by the hair of his head in those oak boughs, and they thrust a dart through him, and he died. And David began to cry, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, my son Absalom." And his captain of the host, Joab, had to rebuke him. Said, "David, you're weeping more over that rebellious son that was trying to destroy the kingdom. You're weeping more over him than these that have put their life on the line for you." And sometimes sooner that happens in your life. That which you held the dearest to you, sometimes it rebels. And if we're not careful, we'll compromise in that particular time. But let's go on with the story. Then when Absalom was killed, they came to David. They wanted him to come back to Jerusalem and take up his throne and continue to rule. For David was ordained of God before he made worlds to be in the lineage of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I believe that with all of my heart. I don't doubt that a bit. Before God made worlds, he knew every one of us. He knew us. He knew where we lived. Knew the day we'd be born, the day we'd die. He knew how many warts you'd have on your back. He knew all of those things. God knew. Because God always was, is, and ever shall be. And God is a God of knowledge. God knows. You can't have one trial, one temptation, one fear, one anxiety. You can't have one sickness that God didn't know about it before he made worlds and provided grace for you to come through it. He provided grace. Our God is eternal. He always was, he always is, and he always will be what he is. He cannot change. He's God. He cannot be what he is not now, and he cannot be what he will not be in the future. He will always be what he is. He's eternally what he is. Psalms 9:7 says, "But the Lord shall endure forever." Isn't that wonderful? That which had no beginning of duration can never have an end or any interruptions in it. God is eternal. And if you ever get that settled down in your soul, it'll help you ride out the waves, children. Amen. God never depended upon any. None can make him cease to be what he eternally hath been forever. You cannot take from God, thank God, and you cannot stop his eternal continuance. That's why as a Christian, we have eternal security in our souls. Amen? Man, we don't have to whistle Dixie through a graveyard and take a back alley home. We know in whom we believe, and he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. Well, now, when the word came, David, come home. David agreed to go back. And I want you to notice in that 2 Samuel 19, verse 18. Now they've come down to the River Jordan. They're on the way back home. They have come from the wilderness. They're back down to Jordan. It's time to cross Jordan and go on home. And children, of course, Jordan in the Bible many times represents death, and yet it also represents victory. Right. But they're back to Jordan. Time to cross now and to go on home. And look in this 18th verse. "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gerah fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." That fellow Shimei is the one that cursed him right on the way out. And he's afraid David's going to dehorn him. But David's type of Christ, so he had mercy on it. And said a ferry boat went over to do what? Carry over the king's household. Now, children, there's times when Jordan's in those flood stages, you'd take the ferry boat to get across. And so they sent the ferry boat over. In a sense, the ferry boat here's a type of Christ when he comes after the church. Notice what it said, to carry over the king's household. Not one person was on that ferry boat except the king's household. And when Jesus comes, nobody's going except the redeemed, those that are saved and bloodwise. This bunch of God-denying shock pokes running around over country, denying God, curse the church, curse his young. Listen to them, they're not going. You know, they're not going to be on that ferry boat. Only the saints of God. And that includes us. Amen? Amen. Just think about it. The ferry boat, and I believe the ferry boat will be here soon. Now, I'm not setting dates, but you better keep your seatbelt buckles. We're going out. We're going out on God's ferry boat. And then I want you to notice in verse 31. Let's come down. Verse 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now here I want you to notice this is a very interesting story. King David's coming home. He's the type of Christ. He's going on up to Jerusalem. And here, when he came down to Jordan, the ferry boat has come for him. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, that word Barzillai, you need, if you've got a pencil there, right out on the edge of your Bible, you need to write what his name means. Barzillai. His name means iron, I-R-O-N. Iron-hearted. Iron-hearted. Now that doesn't mean that he was rebellious against God. It doesn't mean that he was rebellious against the holy things of God. It has a different meaning. Iron-hearted here means Barzillai being a man of God, that feared God, feared the king, stood by the king. It means that Barzillai, being God's man, was set in his ways. He wouldn't bow, bend, budge, nor burn, but he stood for God regardless. And we need some iron-hearted mothers and dads like that today that'll stand by the stuff. Okay, now look, verse 32. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Now, children, when God calls you're great. Amen. And God called this man, amen, this God-fearing man, this man that feared God, reared his family to fear God, loved the king, honored the king. God said he was a great man. Would you love to have that said of you from God himself? A great man or a great woman. There's a story of a woman in the Bible. God said she was a great woman. You remember the woman that provided for Elijah? A great woman. Listen, children. We're God's children. And when God says you're great, you are. And you don't have to make a name in this world to be great in God's eyes. And so this fellow, being 80 years old, says here that he, in verse 32, he provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. Turn back to chapter 17 and look, beginning with verse 27, I believe it is. I want you to see this. Verse 27 in chapter 17. And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Maker the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim. Now that's the fellow we're talking about. Barzillai. Now look in that 28th verse. He brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter. Bless God, that's a pretty good menu if you ask me. And look, and butter. Oh, thank God, and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, notice this, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, sons and daughters and pilgrims on the way, if you'll be good to God's little children, in the wilderness in which we're in today. Listen, provide for them, pray for them, encourage them, do anything you can to keep their hearts and minds set on Christ. Churches, we need to do that with each other. Instead of picking each other and running your tongues, you know, and browbeating and finding fault and accusing each other.
Amen.
That isn't the way that you help people. You help people by praying for them and by encouraging them in the Lord. Encouraging them to go on with
Amen.
God. And I'll tell you right now, I still appreciate somebody encouraging me.
Amen.
I really do. Now, this fellow Barzillai, you see what kind of a man he was. Brother, he feared God and he provided for God's children. He did everything he could to provide for them. Now God will bless that church that takes care of their pastor. There are some churches, you know, they just think, well, a pastor can live on rabbit tracks, win pudding, sleep on the clothesline, draw their breath, and that's about all. But you listen, God wants you as a church to stand by the man of God. You say, preacher, let him get out and work like I do. Well, if you have that kind of attitude, I'll guarantee you God's going to let you hit a bump or a wall for long. Listen, God plainly teaches, stand by the man of God.
Amen.
Many of God's preachers have had to work on public works. You say, what's wrong with that? Not a thing. But children, when God calls a man to a church and to a community, if God put him in there, the Holy Ghost planted him there, you better pray for him and stand by him and do everything you can so he'll have time to pray and to fast and study this word and to minister to the people. That's his job. And don't penny pinch on it. In the Old Testament, God said all the tithes went to the priest. Boy, what if they did that today? Some of them backslide and fall through it. Amen. But now let's go back to this fellow Barzillai. What a great man he was. Now notice what he said. I said here he's 80 years old. That's 80 years of age. And in verse 33, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. What a promise. Come on, Barzillai, we're going home, going to Jerusalem. And he said, I'll feed thee. That meant he'd never have to worry anymore. He'd always be eating at the king's table with the king's household. Wouldn't that be something? Now here, Barzillai is the type of Israel. Children, he came under his own received him not. They could have received Christ and been in on the first table. You remember when we were kids growing up, we had company? And you got to, it always bothered me to have to wait. Man, mom would have that table all covered with good stuff. And she'd say, children, you'll have to wait. I'll tell you right now, I didn't like it. I like to go to that first table before it had been picked over. When you got down to the chicken, after it picked over, wasn't the thing left was the running gears. That aggravated me. Good night. That's the reason I love that first table. Aren't you glad when Jesus comes, we're going to be in on that first table? Thank God they ain't going to. Amen. There won't be no waiting in glory. Hallelujah. Preacher friend of mine was preaching years ago. Of course, he's dead now. They were up the country somewhere, in Ohio somewhere, and they were invited to the home for a meal. You know how they do in revival meetings. Of course, I love to be invited, revival or not. I love to be invited. But anyway, they invited him, and they had a little boy in there, and he's a sweet little fellow. He's about 12 or so, but the little fellow was a bit retarded, not speaking, making fun of that. But his mother said, son, the preachers have come, and you have to wait now. You wait out there in the living room till we get through, and then I'll fix you a plate. Well, they were eating away, enjoying the meal, and that little fella, he stood about all that he could. He come and stuck his head around the door and hollered at him, said, go ahead, eat like hogs, eat it all up. He got
He didn't get to eat at the first table. And Barzillai could have eaten at the first table. It don't mean he wasn't a good man. I told him about that. But can you imagine, Christians, here you sit tonight. I don't know whether you worked all day, maybe rushed in, had a sandwich, or didn't have any supper. And how you'd love to sit down and eat a good slow meal with all the trimmings. Can you imagine going from here to the marriage supper? Can you imagine sitting here and in the next moment being at home with Jesus in that new Jerusalem? It won't hurt you to think on it. Dwell on it. Man, I've been thinking on it going down the road. Listen, I've had to part and get out. Couldn't stand it. I tell you, God filled the car with His holy presence. Listen, Christians, don't lose the thrill of the fact He may come any moment. Don't lose that. And church, don't you lose it. And if you'll go back and study history, you'll find when the first church, after that first 200 or 300 years, when they quit preaching the second coming and the millennial ring, we went into the dark ages. Listen, you live in that hope. When you're at home washing the dishes, sing about it. You may get blessed and throw a cup out the window, but that's all right. Sing about it. Rejoice in it. Praise God, praise God. Yeah, help me out. I need it. Rejoice in what the Lord has done. Well, now, let's go on here with Barzillai. We're not quite through with him yet. In verse 33, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, now listen, he's 80 years old now, and he's, if you want to find some of the things that happened to old people, you'll have to find it right here. He said, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? He said, David, my days are short. I'm getting old. And he said, in other words, he wasn't sure that he could even make it. Getting old, you know, that works on people. They say that you can tell when you're getting old when your knees buckle and your belt won't. I don't know. I've heard that, you know. I read some time ago where a man and woman waited so long to get married, Medicare paid for their honeymoon. So do what you can while you're young, children. Now, he said to David, he said, I'm 80. I'm 80. And can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? When you get old, you begin to lose your taste buds. You know that? But I still like to eat. Taste buds or no taste buds.
Amen.
You said it out there. I'm going to work on it. And then he said, can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? That's one of the signs of old age. Your hearing begins to go. Amen? And that's why some of us wear hearing aids. They say we belong to the age crowd. Hearing age, band age, roll age, all them kind of age. But listen to what he said. He said, wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King? Boy, his heart was right. He said, King, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be a burden. How many times have people been a burden to the pastor and the church when they didn't have to, but the children, because they wouldn't sell out to God and live holy and obey God? It became a burden. How many times has the church had to pray over that man, woman, boy, girl that refused to go with God as they should, and they became a burden instead of a blessing? But this man, Barzillai, a godly man, he was telling King David, I'm too old, I can't, in other words, it'd be hard for me to make the trip.
Right.
Look what he said in verse 36, I like this. He said, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? He said, I'll go a little way over. He still had to go in. He still wanted to. It was still there. You remember when King David was an old man? Now, you know, he was God's warrior. I love to read about David. He's type of Jesus. He was God's warrior. And I love to read the battles. The first giant that David killed was Goliath. And Bible scholars tell us that Goliath was over 13 feet tall. How'd you like to meet him some morning going to the spring house? I'd be like Wendy Bagel. Well, you want that new door? Think of it. A man over 13 feet. And you know what that dude had done? For 40 days, that rascal had walked up and down in the valley, cursed God, cursed Israel. Up there was the army of Israel on this side. And Saul up there, head and shoulders above everybody else. And yet he was scared out of his wits, and he is up there hiding with Israel, the army.
Right.
And that old giant walked him down. He cursed him. Said, send me a man down here. They were scared to come. Lord God, the children, he just hadn't got there yet.
Right.
He kept cursing, send me a man. 40 days he did that. In the Bible, one day is with the Lord a thousand years. 1,000 years is as one day. For 4,000 years, the devil walked up and down the valley of time and cursed God and cursed God's little children and held over them the fear of death, because there was no resurrection till Jesus came. And that hell-bent rascal walked up and down, and children, they were afraid. And there was, think of it before, you know, I feel heavenly chill bumps on me. But I tell you, 4,000 years, there was the word in the heart of the earth, Abraham and Isaac and all those. Read it in the book of Hebrews. The devil had the power of death. When Adam and the woman sinned against God, the devil took the power of death, and for 4,000 years, he walked up and down the valley of time and cursed God and cursed man and said, you can't rise. I'm glad, praise God. Hallelujah, the time came. 4,000 years, 40 days and nights, that old cussed giant walked up and down. And they were afraid. What happened for 4,000 years? The whole human family was afraid. Prayed to die, there was no resurrection. 4,000 years. The devil had the power of death. You've read it in Hebrew. But early one morning, that young red-headed teenager, you say, how do you know he's a teenager? Because the Bible said a young man in Israel could not become a soldier till he's 20 years old. And David hadn't yet joined the army. If he had been old enough, he'd have been in the army. But the army was in him. Hallelujah. Lord God, I feel it. Hallelujah. I can't run as fast as I used to, but I still holler like a coon hunter. Children, little David showed up. Type of Jesus, still a teenager. He saw what was going on, brother. I believe the trumpets went off in his blood veins and the drums and the bugles. And brother, I'll tell you, he just couldn't stand it. He wanted to go. Everybody else afraid. Then his brother, jealous of him. Jesus came unto his own received him not. They were jealous of him when he's on earth. All that priesthood, that they were jealous of him. But brother, you know about Saul's army, but he finally went. Thank God. Down the hillside he went, crossed that stream, stopped long enough to get the stone. And children, as he came out, bless God, the water dripping out of his shoes and his robe, he put that sling in. That rock in that sling. And you know the story. Brother, when he threw that stone, it hit that old giant in the forehead. Hit him in the head. And what did God say in the book of 1 John? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And in the Bible, head is a type of what? Power. 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 And what did God say in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman will bruise the devil's head. And that word bruise there means to crush and put out of business. Woo-hoo. I feel it all over me. Oh, blessed God, thank you. Lord God, it means put out of business. Brother, I'm telling you, when whoopee, somebody's going to have to run for me. I feel it all over me. Brother, when he threw that stone, type of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that was the stone kingdom, the stone age. Hallelujah. When he hit that old giant, the Bible said he fell fallen on his face, buried his old head in the dirt. When Jesus came, oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Children, and when that old giant fell, what did David do? Now, the Bible said he killed him.
Right.
Didn't it? Yeah. All right. And he stood up on that giant, climbed up on his back. And David didn't have a sword. But that old giant had one, and David reached down and took both hands and pulled it out of that sheath. And turned around and chopped his head off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cut his head off. The Bible said he killed him, so he killed him twice.
Right.
You say, why? Well, when God kills one, you better be sure it'll be dead, and he gets through with it. He killed him twice. When Jesus came, what did he do? Not only did he save us. Somebody's going to have to help me. Not only did he save us from sin, but he saved us from the power of sin. He killed him twice. Lord God, hallelujah. Isn't that what? When Jesus came, children, he tended to the devil. Killed him twice. But you know, David still had some trouble with giants a little later on. If you serve God, you're going to meet some of them shock folks in your path too. But thanks be unto God. God knows how, brother, to put them out. He did put them out of business at Calvary. See, up until Calvary, everybody that died, up until Calvary, they went into the heart of the earth. If they was lost, they went into Hades or hell. If they were a Christian or... to the paradise compartment in the heart of the earth. You say, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's where they went. And when Jesus was crucified and his body was over there in the grave, where'd Jesus go? He went down into the heart of the earth. Tramped around the brinks of hell and Hades. Priest of the spirits in prison. Backed up to the gates of Hades. Up to the gates of paradise where the redeemed of the ages were. And like Samson pulled up the gates down at Gaza, Jesus backed up and pulled the roots. Thank God, the gates. He pulled them out of the roots and said, come, ye blessed of my Father. And Jesus took that great company of the redeemed. Hallelujah, you've been waiting on the resurrection. Boy, the resurrection's come. He's here now. We're going home. And he said, come, my blessed, thank God, come, we're going home. And he went back by the way of the tomb, resurrected his own body, stepped back in it, shouted till the foundations of hell shook. He said, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took that great company redeemed, and they winged their way by burning suns and brilliant moons and bursting worlds, and winged their way back, thank God, to heaven's gate. And the angels met them and said, you can't come in without blood. And he was now our high priest. They said, you can't enter into the Holy of Holies without blood. Thank God he presented. Hallelujah.
He presented his own blood in that golden vessel. And the gates swung wide. And that company of redeemed marched down the streets of glory to the mediatorial throne. And God the Father rose from his mediatorial throne and said, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Oh, listen, children. Thank God. It's finished. It's finished. Boy, don't look down your nose at me like I was peddling polecat hides. Honey, I belong to the royal aristocracy of the sky. Woo-hoo! Lord God, hallelujah. Children, listen. We've got a God. I don't know whether you know or not, but we've got a God. He's almighty. Hallelujah. And then when David met them old giants later, what time am I supposed to be? I'm so wound up, I want to go on. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing. And David met them giants, some of them old giants later, those four sons of Anak. You remember that? They said they made war with Israel. Now, David was an old man. It's time for him to sit on the front porch and rock, you know, draw his breath and his social security. But honey, when he heard they said them those giants are coming, you know what he did? He jumped up, grabbed that sword of Goliath.
Yes, sir.
See, David didn't have a sword when he killed that giant. That sword's type of death. But Jesus took death on himself, brother, and he cured that thing forever.
Amen.
And he grabbed that same sword. Here he is, an old man. I believe he ran out down the porch and down the road and said, "Where's that bunch of uncircumcised in heart devils? Let me out." Honey, he waded into them like he's shelling corn. Oh, man, you listen, it was anybody. Listen, if you're saved, full of God's Holy Ghost, you don't want to ever quit. You don't want to quit. Press on, it won't be long. Old David, brother, he wouldn't quit. And I'll tell you, he ran into one of those giants. His name was Ishbibenob. That name would kill you, wouldn't it? Ishbibenob. What a name. And you know what that name Ishbibenob means? To lie at the threshold. To lie at the threshold. What does it mean? I don't care how long you serve God. You may live to be 100, children, or you may live so long, your beard be so long, you have to roll it in a wheelbar. But don't you ever forget this. God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But don't you ever forget, even lying at the threshold where David was about to step out into eternity with God, that hell-bent devil was lying there waiting to get him as he went out.
Yes, sir.
But God, hallelujah, the mighty man, type of the Holy Ghost, brother, he stepped in and decapitated that fella right above his ears, if you will. He cut his power off too, didn't he? I tell you, children, God will fight your battle. The Holy Ghost in you. That mighty man's type of the Holy Ghost. Boy, he dehorned him, didn't he? If I don't hurry, I never will get to Jerusalem. But I want you to know tonight, children, we're not a bunch of backboneless, spineless, gutless wonders. We're God's army. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Now, let's go back and see if we can get Barzillai home at least. He said in verse 35, "I am this day 80 years old." And then he told about all the signs of old age. And then in verse 36, he said, "Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense at me with such a reward?" He said, "King, I don't want any reward. Oh, if I could just be with you." You know, if you ever think of that, I know the Bible's promised rewards if you'll be faithful and all that. But just being home with Jesus, wouldn't that be enough? Wouldn't that be enough? No. Children, I've been away. I've been to other countries and all. when my wife couldn't go. Listen, if I could have just been with her, that's all that mattered. I didn't want all that other paraphernalia. I just wanted to be with her. Man, I prayed 7 years for her. 7 years. Because I kept praying. I prayed. I said, God, if I ever marry you, send the one. You pick, you do the picking, because I didn't want to marry under an orange blossom, go home and unwrapping it be a lemon. Yep. 7 years. 7 years. And I still miss her. I'd run down here, I miss her. I wanted to be with her. You say, I wouldn't pray 7 years for a woman. Some of you wish you'd still pray. Now, I want you to notice here what old Barzillai said. He said, King, I don't want any reward. If the Lord came for you right now, isn't that all you want? Just to be with Him. Just to be with Him. But now the picture's going to change. In verse 37, what a change is coming. Now remember, Barzillai's name meant iron-hearted. He was God's man. You couldn't bend him, budge him. He stood for God. And that's what we need today.
Right.
Some that'll stand for God and not compromise. Amen. Now look here in verse 37. Barzillai said, David, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. Now, let's stop right there just a moment. Barzillai, he loved God, and he loved the king. But here, in a sense, Barzillai is the type of Israel. Children, they could have gone with him. But he came unto his own. John 5:43, he came unto his home. And children, they rejected him. And then Jesus said, another will come in his own name. Him you'll receive. But Barzillai was a godly man. He wanted to go back home and die and be buried by his parents. He must have honored his parents. He loved them so he wanted to be buried by them. And that's one of the things we miss today. God said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon earth. And then look what he said in the middle of that 37th chapter, where it says, But behold thy servant Chimham. Now that's Barzillai's son. Here's a young man that Barzillai reared to fear God, to honor God, and to live holy, and to stand by the king that was God's man. Look what he said. Now Barzillai said, David, I can't make it. I don't want to be a burden. I'd love to go on, but look. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. Barzillai said, David, I can't go, but I've got a son here. I've raised to fear God. He'll do what you want done. I know he loves God. He's my own son, but he prays and he lives holy. And he's faithful in church and he's faithful in his tithing. And he's faithful and he's good to his mother and he's good to his dad. He'll go with you. He'll be my representative. My. Chimham. If you're making notes, write out on the edge of your Bible the name of Chimham. You know what it means? It's sweet. It means to long after, or to pine after, long after. What about a young man? He so longed after God and pined after God to be like him. His name means to pine after, long after. Lord God, don't you wish, children, oh, we had that in our souls tonight. Wouldn't you love to be like Chimham long after God? And look what happened to this young man. Young people, if you're here tonight,
Here's a young man. Now, we told you about David. He wasn't 20 years old when God so mightily used him. And I believe God used you teenagers today to help pull this world of ours, this nation of ours that's hell bound for hell. God had used you to help pull it back. If you'll surrender to God and obey, if you'd ask God to give you the spirit of Chimham, look what he said. And I like this. And he said, do to him what shall seem good. In other words, as far as the other, I said, David, if you want to give him any reward, but Chimham knew, Barzillai, I knew that Chimham wouldn't ask for a reward. He wouldn't ask for it. He just wanted to live for God, live holy. He longed after God. He longed to be holy. He longed to be the kind of Christian we ought to be. And then look in verse 38. And the king answered Chimham, shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. Isn't that sweet? He said, I'll do to him that which shall seem good unto him. Can you imagine mothers and dads and grandparents, you that's been wading through hell by the acre, you've been in dark places, place of despair and despondency and sickness. Can you imagine what God's going to do for you? Can you imagine what God's David, Jesus Christ, is going to do for us? The Bible said he'll do what seems good unto me. Think of it. I know sometimes you've been embarrassed, you've been ashamed, you've been hurt, you've been abused. Don't give up. Press on. It won't be long. And look here what happened. And in verse 39, and all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Verse 40, then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. They went by Gilgal and on up to Jerusalem. Now, when they got to Jerusalem, this young man that pressed on, wouldn't compromise, wouldn't turn this way or that way. He forsook the old crowd that would have drug him down to hell. Oh, let me add this right here. Young people, maybe some of you young men have been called to preach. Along about 1940, a young man lived just below the old tabernacle we had built in West End. Precious young man. Still, I believe, in high school. And God gloriously saved him. And God called him to preach, and but he was on fire. And I went to hear him preach his first sermon. I remember what he preached about. The world's darkest blackout. Back then, we were having blackouts during the war. You had to blackout your home, your business, everything. Fine young man. But young people, that old crowd began to pull at him. Oh, come on. You know, I believe his name was Bill Bright. I loved him, good boy. And they began to pull at him. And pull at him. Oh, come on. Just tonight. We're just going to have a good time. All that kept going on. Till finally, he began to give in. And give in. And give in. And children broke with God. Got out of fellowship. And I can see the paper now. It came out in the paper. If you've ever been to Asheville, where the Beaver Lake section is. A young boy went by and they got another high school kid, the best I remember. And they were going around Beaver Lake there at Ashburn at a high rate of speed. And lost it in a curve and hit a tree head on. And when the picture came out, he was laying about half out the side door's head hanging down in eternity. What if he'd have gone on with God? I believe he'd be preaching today if he's still here. Young people, press on. It won't be long. The best is yet to come. Ask God to give you the spirit of Chimham. Lord, I'm going through. Lord, make me a good soldier. And look at this. when they got to Jerusalem, what did King David give this young man as a reward? What did he give him? He gave him, now listen, you talk about a reward. He gave him all the land of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, and 1,000 years later, now remember, he gave him the land of Bethlehem. If you want a proof of that, turn to the book of Jeremiah 41, and I believe it's verse 17. Jeremiah 41 and verse 17. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of whom? Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. So, all the land of Bethlehem, all that belonged to Chimham. That was his reward for going on and not giving up and not turning back. All the land. What a reward. But the reward is not over. 1,000 years later, one night, the angels came down. The shepherds were tending their flocks in the fields. And the angels came down, singing and praising God, and gave the glad news. There's a child born in Bethlehem. And that child was the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Chimham would not give up, stayed true. Think about a reward. God let His only begotten Son be born on His land. If you'll be true to God, your children, you never know what's yet ahead for you. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus. Let me close with this. I'm not a singer. My voice is old. I'm old as I am. Hallelujah. But children, don't give up. Be God's soldier. I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior, come. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I will tell you what induced me in this glorious fight to start. 'Twas the Savior's loving kindness overcame and won my heart. When to death's dark swelling river, like a warrior I shall come, then I mean to shout salvation and go singing glory home. I love Jesus. You can sing that. It's a tune of Come Thou Fount. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Where's that dear brother? Somebody pitch that. It's the tune of Come Thou Fount. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. That's it. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. That's an old Salvation Army warrior song. I think we'll do that course again. Whoever started, here's the words. Let me give it to you. I love Jesus, hallelujah. I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. Hush that tune, take off again.
I love Jesus, hallelujah. I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. Children, don't give up. Press on. It won't be long. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Now, while heads are bowed, we wait just a moment. I want to ask you a question or two now. Then we'll turn it back to the dear pastor. In this audience tonight, I wonder if there's anyone, from the least boy and girl to the oldest mother and dad, is there anyone in this audience who'll say, "Preacher, by lifting your hand, that's all, just put your hand up, take it down, and we'll see it. We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to vilify you. We're not here to twist your arm." But if you're here tonight and you've never received this wonderful Savior, and you want God's praying people to pray for you, that you'd be saved before it's too late, would you just put your hand up and down? Just stick it up, take it down, all over the building, from the least to the oldest, man or woman, boy or girl, you want us to pray for you. Or if you've been saved, and for some reason or another, that sweet fellowship between you and the Lord's been broken, and you want us to pray that that would be restored, would you slip your hand up and down and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? All over. And now, Christians, let me ask you this. Do you really want to go through? Do you want to press on? I believe tonight there's a number of God's people. I believe all of God's people here tonight. Really, you want to be like Jim Ham. You want to go all the way to Jerusalem, and that's where we're headed. And as a child of God, you need the prayers of the praying people. You may be in a dark place, a hard place, a financial reverse, or whatever it might be as a child of God. You need the prayers of the praying people. Would you put your hands up with mine all over? Bless you. While heads are bowed, dear pastor, we'll ask you to come and close.
We're going to sing a verse of invitation song. Your heart burdened this evening, and you want some help from God, we'd invite you to make your way out of your pew and get up here in this altar tonight. Whatever your need might be, you know it and God knows it. God is here to help you.